I know forgiveness was not a natural human emotion or action that came easy to me as I think back over my life. I could, and I still can be, sometimes slow to ask for forgiveness. And you can ask my wife, and she'll be shaking her head, yes, sometimes I was. you know, it's also very hard to accept forgiveness. You know, sometimes it's much easier to beat yourself up or continue to beat myself up over something I did and say, how could I be so stupid? How could I have done that? Never mind thinking about forgiving someone else who has really wronged you or wronged someone close to you or your family. You know, as guys, we're often not in touch with our emotions as much as women are. And so sometimes we tend to minimize any hurt done to us. Nah, it didn't really bother me. Well, if I'm not hurt, then why do I need to worry about forgiveness? I'm sure most of us here could give a definition of what forgiveness is. As I said last week, Webster's Dictionary defines forgiveness this way: to stop feeling anger towards someone who has done something wrong, to stop blaming someone. I like the definition that's up on the board here now that most psychologists would accept. Forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. Think about that. A conscious, deliberate decision. What they're saying is that forgiveness is not an emotion, but a conscious act of the will to act in spite of your emotions, no matter how horrendous the offense may have been. Forgiveness is a willful decision. So it's not something that necessarily comes naturally to us, because our emotions are not necessarily going to lead us there. It's something that we have to choose to do. Now, we often struggle with forgiving someone, and I think sometimes it's because we misunderstand what forgiveness really is. And there are many misconceptions about forgiveness. The first one I would mention is this: forgiveness is not justifying someone's actions or making excuses for them. If I forgive someone, aren't I saying that what they did is okay? No. You can forgive someone, and it has nothing to do whether or not, it's not minimizing their wrong, it's not saying what they did is okay. Forgiveness is not an approval of their offense. In a similar vein, forgiveness is not a pardon. A pardon is a legal transaction that releases a person from responsibility from their actions, for paying the price for what they did. They're spared the consequences. Forgiving a person does not necessarily mean that that person will not suffer consequences for their actions. A teenager may stay out way past curfew. When they get home, the parents may have a conversation with them. You know, the parents might say, well, I love you and I forgive you, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to be grounded if it's been a repeated issue. They still may lose use of the car. They still may be grounded. Every once in a while, you'll see on TV where a horrendous crime or a murder has taken place, and once in a while, you'll hear the family actually forgives the person. Well, that doesn't mean that the person's not going to pay the penalty in the justice system. Forgiveness is not a pardon. The person's going to escape punishment, necessarily. Forgiveness is not denying hurt or pain. It's not about pretending that you're not hurt. Forgiveness is not saying that anger, frustration, grief, and hurt are wrong emotions. Those emotions probably are perfectly natural and appropriate emotions, maybe for what happened. But we are responsible for what we do with them, and how we act on them may be wrong. You know, one of the most damaging things we can do to ourselves, psychologists say this all the time, is to cover up our emotions and pretend that they don't exist. You know, as I said before, guys are much more likely to do this because they've traditionally been taught, deal with it, suck it up, don't cry, move on. It's important that we feel the emotions and experience the pain and grief to the situation that we are in. And without doing that, it's really hard to find real healing. Another one: forgiveness is not trusting in the passage of time to heal the hurt. You know, you've all heard the saying, time heals all wounds. Well, that's simply not true. Wounds tend to fester in the background if you don't deal with them. You know, and then the next time the person hurts you, whether intentionally or unintentionally, you're now reacting not just to the present situation, but you're reacting to the previous incident or incidents that had taken place. And the more times that happens, the greater your anger grows, and you end up reacting in a way that's all out of proportion to what just took place, and you don't understand why. That's often the case, especially in marriages, where they don't resolve an issue, and it just festers in the background, and it keeps going, and pretty soon you're reacting to more than just one incident. You're reacting to a whole backlog of things that had never been forgiven or worked out. You know, oftentimes, when children are abused, oftentimes their minds will suppress the memories. It's a defense mechanism to protect them. But as they move into adulthood, those memories often come back up, and they have to deal with them if they're going to find healing and live a healthy life. If you cover up hurt and pain, it comes back to bite you later on in life. It always does. Another thing, forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. Now, we talked about this last week. That hurt or offense is written into our hard drive. It's a file, it's a memory that's always there. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you've said it with kind of an edge to your voice, "I can forgive, but I will never forget"? You ever heard that? In one sense, that's true. You do never forget. But when a person says that, in another sense, that person is really kind of saying that I truly haven't forgiven. That I'm going to remember the hurt and hang on to the hurt, that I truly have not released it. When we truly forgive, we make a conscious choice to not hold it against them and to release the hurt. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. You may forgive someone, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that relationship is going to be restored. Because it takes two people to reconcile, and trust has to be built up again oftentimes when something bad has happened. And you can't control how the other person will act or react to what you say to them or to you expressing forgiveness. So you may forgive someone, but quite possibly you may never be reconciled to that person. And that's not necessarily your fault. It doesn't mean reconciliation all the time. Finally, forgiveness is not easy. Has anyone ever said to you, or perhaps you've said to someone else when they've been hurt, you said, "Oh, you just need to forgive them and move on"? Have you ever heard that? Someone said that to you? The assumption is that forgiveness is a quick and easy thing. But it's not an easy thing. It's not a natural emotion. To truly forgive, you have to acknowledge the wrong, and you have to feel the pain, and you have to understand the hurt. If you try to forgive without acknowledging the wrong, if you try to forgive without understanding your emotions and feeling those emotions, it's usually not going to necessarily work. And sometimes it takes time to process those emotions and feelings. So forgiveness doesn't always happen instantaneously right after something happens. Sometimes you have to process that and think about it. A person made this astute observation. Despite hundreds of sermons on forgiveness, we do not forgive easily. Forgiveness is always harder than the sermons make it out to be. And that's really true. Forgiveness is not easy, but it's necessary for a healthy life. Why is it necessary? Well, you see, until we forgive, we are allowing the other person's actions to control our life. We are tied to the past and to the person that hurt us. And we will never be free from their actions. We are inextricably tied to them emotionally until we forgive them. An article in the Harvard Women's Health Watch newsletter said it this way: when you forgive somebody, you make yourself, rather than the other person, responsible for your own happiness. You hear that? When you forgive someone, you make yourself, not the other person, responsible for your own happiness. Because what they're saying is, if you haven't forgiven someone, you are dependent on other person, and the pain and the grief they caused you is going to undermine your happiness and your ability to live right. We're going to play a short video here, and it's a story of Louis Zamperini, whose life was in a book published just a few years back called Unbroken. If you haven't read it, I would encourage you to read it. It's a powerful read. Zamperini was an Olympic athlete, a marathon, who ran in 1936, I believe. He was a World War II bomber pilot, and he was a prisoner of war for a long time in a Japanese POW camp in Japan. And because of his fame, he was singled out for extra cruel treatment, especially by one of the guards that you hear in the video named Bird. And what he went through as a POW was horrendous. Now, this short clip talks about the power of forgiveness and how it set him free in his life to really live. Just watch this video. I would encourage you to read the book. It's really a good read, titled Unbroken. Now, what a powerful story. The book itself kind of passes over the impact that his faith had on his life. But it does make clear, as this short video clip does, that by forgiving the guards, Louis Zamperini began to live again. He found freedom. No more nightmares, you heard him say. No more drunken binges. No more uncontrollable anger. He was no longer controlled by his experiences as a POW in the brutality of the guards. He was free to live and engage life now in the present. Louis Zamperini's story leads us into how we can learn to forgive even in the most extreme circumstances of his story. The road to extending real forgiveness, I think, begins with experiencing the totality of God's forgiveness. The road to freedom for Louis Zamperini began with him experiencing the full magnitude of God's forgiveness for him. That's where it started. In looking back on his life, he realized that God had gotten him through a horrendous situation. And ultimately, that drove him back to God with a little push from his wife. Women, see, you can have profound impact on your husband. But he pushed and he went. And there he encountered something he had never experienced before, the love and forgiveness of God, when he committed himself to following Jesus. Paul says it this way in Colossians 2:13-14. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. The slate is wiped completely clean. No matter what you've done, no matter what we have done, it's wiped clean. That's why 2 weeks ago I started with God's complete forgiveness. Experiencing that forgiveness, I think, is the foundation, especially to learning to forgive others when it's really horrendous. In the moment that Louis encountered Jesus, he said he knew that he could forgive his guards in Japan. You know, the root word for forgiveness in Greek is the same as the root word for grace. It's the same as the root word for gift. They're all tied together. God's forgiveness is an act of grace on God's part towards us that we don't deserve. It's his gift to us. Gift, grace, forgiveness, they're all tied together. Louis's guards did not deserve forgiveness. But because Louis realized that he didn't deserve God's forgiveness, that it was God's free gift to him, he understood that he needed to forgive. He needed to extend forgiveness to them. It's a theme all through the New Testament. Forgive because we have been forgiven by God at the cross. I'm going to read a couple of verses, and again from the Message version, because they say it so well. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and as thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and as completely as the Master forgave you. What all these verses are saying is that we truly understand the cross and God's forgiveness for us through Jesus, then we have no choice but to forgive others if we're going to continue to experience God's peace. It's at the heart of the Christian faith. Becky Pepper was a well-known Christian author and speaker, conference speaker, and she wrote the book about sharing your faith called Out of the Salt Shaker. And at one of the conferences she was speaking about forgiveness, she made this statement. The worst sin I ever committed was murder. Oh, everything got real quiet. You could hear the proverbial pin drop. All these people that were coming to this conference to hear, and mostly Christians, are thinking, well, she committed murder. Why did I ever come to hear her? This can't be. And then it says, she went on to say this. I was an accomplice to Jesus' death. She quoted Isaiah 53:6. We're all like sheep that have wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all our sins, all our wrongdoing, everything we've done wrong on Him, meaning Jesus on the cross. In other words, none of us deserve God's grace. and we are no better than anyone else. But because God has completely forgiven us, we will extend that forgiveness to others. We must experience the totality of God's forgiveness. I think that's the foundation. Next, we must release the person who offended us entirely. We must release the person who offended us. Now, what do I mean by that? We're giving up the right to punish the offender further, or to demand restitution, or to hold a grudge. We're renouncing any anger or bitterness that we still hold. There is a myth out there that says that if we stay angry, that somehow we are punishing the person who hurt us. Or somehow, you know, we're hurting them. But that's a myth. The only person we're hurting is ourselves. If we don't forgive someone, we are emotionally, as I said before, tying ourselves to that person and to that act. We are living in the past, and our anger will turn to bitterness, and it saps all the joy from life in the present. Nikki Gumbel this past week said on this topic about why did Jesus die at Alpha, he said this, and I've heard it elsewhere and I've said it before, holding a grudge is like drinking poison and hoping the other person's going to die. Think about that. It's like drinking poison and thinking the other person is going to get sick. The other person's going to die. It's not our job to punish a person. If they violated society's laws, then hopefully the justice system will address that. But ultimately, we have to leave that judgment to God in the hands of His care. Romans 12:9 says, don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. So in the act of forgiveness, we're releasing our right for revenge. We're leaving the judgment in God's hands. Now, we may not see that judgment in our lifetime. Sometimes that happens. But what God is saying eternally, they're not getting away with anything. He takes care of it. We also have to remember that forgiveness, as I said before, is a process. Now, I said that before, we can forgive. We have to understand that we've been wronged, and we need to feel and process the emotions or anger, the hurt or bitterness. We need to deal with that. We can't bury those emotions and just say, I forgive you, and not deal with them, because it won't. But we also have to forgive that person and renounce that anger many times. Forgiveness is a process. One time may not do it. Perini, he forgave the guards when he decided to become a Christ follower. But you notice he said he made a trip back to Japan to complete the process, to find out if it was really real. You know, as I was thinking about this message this week, I was driving the car, and all of a sudden, an incident out of the past welled up in my mind, and I got really angry as I thought about that person and what happened. And what I had to say again was, I've forgiven him and I renounce all that anger and bitterness in that situation. And immediately the anger is gone. Forgiveness is a process. Sometimes we have to do it more than once. Sometimes we have to do it 2, 3, 4 times down the road. It's a process. Forgiveness is not sometimes a one-time occurrence. Sometimes it is. But oftentimes we have to forgive repeatedly. Lastly, we need to rely on God's strength. He has given us this incredible example in Jesus and the cross. And as you probably know, and as I've repeatedly stated today, forgiveness is never easy. But God prepared the way for us to give us the strength to follow through in Jesus' example. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Him, through Jesus who strengthens me. And in the benediction in Ephesians 3 that I often speak here at the end of a service, now to Him who is able far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. All these scriptures are telling us that if we step out in faith and make the choice to forgive, God will meet us and help us through it, even when we don't think we can. We make the choice, and down the road, our emotions come along with it, and God helps us in that process. So let's just talk practical for a couple moments here. You know, if the person is close to you, or you live with them, or you're going to see them all the time, it's probably usually best to go speak to the person personally. But I would suggest to you before you do this, it's a good idea to write out what you're going to say in advance. It's not that you're going to take it and read it to them, but you just think it through. Because when you go to the person, you don't want to focus on what they did wrong. Because if you focus on what they did wrong, what's going to happen? They're going to get defensive. And you may end up in another confrontation, or you may get angry because you think, well, that's what they did to me? And it only makes it worse. But when you're going to the person, you're not focusing on what they did wrong. You're focusing on your choice to forgive them in spite of what they did wrong. So it's more about you releasing your anger than it is about talking about what they did or how they acted. So you don't focus on what they did. You might say something simple like this. A while ago, you may or may not be aware of this, but when you said this or did this, you hurt me deeply, and I want you to know that I forgive you. And I refuse to be angry or bitter about this any longer. Simple statement. You're not focusing on what they did. You're just telling them that they had hurt, and you choose to forgive. Sometimes you can't go to the person because they've died, or because they moved away, or you lost touch with them. Or maybe it wouldn't be helpful to speak to them directly with the person because you're not sure how they will react. And a further confrontation may follow, or it may just really hurt them, so it's best not to speak to them. Well, then there are a couple of good options for you. You can go talk to a pastor, a counselor, or a trusted friend and share with them what's taking place in the forgiveness. Or you can write or talk about the event, the words that caused you pain. You can write a letter to the person and explain what they did and how it hurt you and that you forgive them and you renounce your anger. Or you can sit next to an empty chair and pretend you're talking to the person. Those little symbolic things often help you realize the forgiveness, and you just speak it out. You see, you realize that it's not rocket science. But it's a choice. Forgiveness is not a natural human emotion. It's a choice of the will we make. And we say something simply like this: I forgive you and I renounce all anger and bitterness towards you. You know, over the past years, I have written many letters like that. You know, and I've never mailed them. I just end up destroying them. But it's a wonderful way to release something. You know, see, forgiveness is a common theme in the New Testament because forgiveness is at the heart of Christianity. So Paul says in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, again from the Message, go ahead, be angry. You do well to be angry, but don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. Don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Paul is saying that it's okay. Anger is okay. Anger is not wrong. So anger is sometimes a very just and right response to a situation. But what he's saying is you are responsible for the choice you make and how you act on that emotion and that anger. So he's saying if it's someone close to you, resolve it as soon as possible. Try not to go to bed angry, especially if you're married. Try to resolve it. Don't go to bed angry. Don't let it linger or build up. Make a choice. If you choose not to forgive, then you're opening your life up to all kinds of pain and anger and grief and bitterness. And they won't diminish. They will only grow stronger over time. They won't disappear. If you don't forgive, they grow stronger. You'll be preoccupied with the past. You'll be hurting yourself, not the other person. You'll be a slave to the other person's actions or words. You're no longer free. But if you forgive and renounce the anger, you're free to live. This past Tuesday, again, in the Alpha Course, Nikki Gumbel was talking about why did Jesus die and the whole notion of forgiveness. And he told a true story about Corrie Ten Boom, who wrote the book Hiding Place. It's a powerful story. Out of World War II again, and I've read the book a couple of times. She and her family were Dutch Christians who hid Jews from the Nazis during World War II. And eventually they were found out and discovered. And her father and her sister and she were sent off to concentration camps. Her father died in a camp separate from them. Her sister Betsy, who went to the same camp where she was, died in the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Corrie witnessed the brutality that took place and how her sister was cruelly treated. And after the war, she spent a lot of time talking about forgiveness and the power of the cross. And shortly after the end of the war, she was speaking at a church in Munich, Germany, in the later 1940s. And after the talk, a gentleman walked up to her, and she recognized this man as one of the guards in the camp that had been especially brutal to her sister. He said to her that he really appreciated her talk and that he had become a Christian, was so thankful that God had forgiven him. And then he stuck out his hand and he wanted to know if she would forgive him. And he would know if she forgave him if she was willing to shake his hand. Now she said in those moments, it seemed like an eternity, suddenly she recalled all the pictures, all the horrors that she had witnessed, everything that this guy had done. And she thought, this man really didn't deserve to be forgiven. And as she thought, you know, she wasn't sure she wanted to forgive him. And as she said, it seemed like an eternity, but it was really only a few moments. And so what she did, she made a choice, and she stuck out her hand and she shook his hand. And she said something very similar to what Ludi Zamperini said to him. This is that as she shook his hand, she said in that moment a great wave of feeling of relief or freedom flowed through her body as she grabbed this man's hand. And they just stood there for a while with their hands clasped. And said she knew God's forgiveness was real, and the forgiveness she extended to this man who had been so brutal to one of her own family was very real. And she said, in that moment, I knew what real freedom was all about. I didn't have to hang on to it anymore. Who do you need to forgive? Who is that person or persons in your life that you've tried to forget about, but yet maybe still are very much part of your life today because of the pain they caused? Maybe it's time for you to make a choice to do something that you've never done before, to forgive them. Or maybe you have forgiven them, but the pain still continues to plague you some. Maybe you need to forgive them again and renounce that pain. Or maybe there are some things that you haven't forgiven yourself about, as we talked about last week. You know, taking a moment to ask Jesus to bring to mind anything that needs to be dealt with. It's something simple like this. And what I'm going to encourage you to do, you'll find in the pew rack in front of you these little prayer cards. And I'm going to encourage you to take a prayer card in the pew rack in front of you and write something like this. I forgive. And just put an initial, no name. No one's going to look at the card, but no name. For what they did or what they said, and I renounce all hurt and anger and bitterness that I have held. I forgive. Just an initial. For what they have done or said, and I renounce all hurt and anger for that I've held on to. Or perhaps maybe you have had a hard time forgiving yourself for something. We beat ourselves up. And it's a simple statement again. God, I accept the fact that you've forgiven me for what I've done, and I renounce my guilt I have held on to all these years. I accept your forgiveness. God, I accept the fact that you have forgiven me for what I've done, and I renounce any guilt I've held on to all these years. I accept your forgiveness. And I would just encourage you to take that, hold that card and fold it. And you see this cross up here? There's some tacks on the table. And in a few moments, Jane is going to come up, and Jane's going to be playing the hymn that we're going to sing to close our service with, The Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And she's just going to play it before we sing it. Just take a few moments to think about, back through. God, what is it? It says, I've held on to something. Have I not forgiven myself? Is there someone I haven't forgiven? Just quickly write it down. Fold the card over. Come forward. Tack it to the cross. Colossians 2:13 and 14 says, all the sins were nailed to the cross. And sometimes we need that symbolic act to help us get past something. And I encourage you, don't worry about what anybody thinks. Don't worry about you're going up, you haven't forgiven somebody? No, that's not the issue here. The issue is that we just release and forgive so that we can live, and that's the most important thing. And I'm going to play, and then Jane's going to play the hymn for a few moments, take a few moments to think and pray, and just come on up and tack it to the cross, and then we'll be singing together The Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Don't let your pride, don't let your inhibitions, don't let what other people think get in the way. No one's going to look at the cards afterwards. I'm going to pull them off and destroy them. I'm not going to read them. It's just simply between you and God. Being forgiven and offering forgiveness is one of the most liberating things that you can do as a person. And it's at the heart of the Christian faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the cross. Thank you so much for everything that you have done for us in Jesus. Father, I pray right now for myself or for each of us here that, and for those who might listen on the web to this message at some point in time, that you would just bring to mind anything that we've been struggling with or that we've held on to, someone we haven't forgiven, or maybe just hanging on to because we haven't forgiven ourselves and we beat ourselves up. Father, we're not going to linger long here, Lord, but just bring it to mind, heart, and because we want to walk in freedom. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Thank you so much for how you have forgiven us. Through your Son, Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.